Okay, so let's jump into the Miraculum. There's a lot there. There's really two pieces of Torah I want to learn inside together tonight. One from the Piazetz Rebbe, the Eish Kodesh, and the second one from the Alexander Rebbe, the Yismach Yisrael. But to get there, let's just start with the Pesukim. And every year you have to learn the Sugya of the Miraglim in a new way. You can't just learn what happened with the Miraglim and the response to the Miraglim. We can't learn Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, who always lament the fact that in so many aspects of our Avodas Hashem we're growing. But there's one area that he felt that people sometimes are very stuck in, and that's with regard to their knowledge and their depth of understanding of the Chumash. Because you learn it, Baruch Hashem, as a child in a childish way, but then you get stuck in that childish understanding of things and you're not able to uncover new depth from one year to the next. So you always have to look at the Torah with a fresh set of eyes and delve more deeply into it. To remind ourselves, as we always do during these parashios, that these were not simple people. The Miraglim were not a bunch of lightweights who we could just simply discard. Or as the Ishbitzer Rebbe once, maybe more than once, commented, that the Averos of the Miraglim, of Korach, what we would consider some of the biggest Averos in the Torah, their Averos are Torah. Their Averos became Torah. And every letter of their sin is part of the Sefer Torah. And if you're missing even a little part of the sin, then the Sefer Torah is puzzle. How many of our mitzvahs are recorded in the Torah? Our biggest mitzvahs aren't recorded in the Torah. Their biggest averos became part of Torah Hashem. So we're talking about people on a very lofty level. We can't discard them as lightweights. Again, there's many layers and much depth, certainly when you study more deeply the Torah, in particular Chassidus and Kabbalah and Pnimius HaTorah. There's many, many layers to what's going on here. Okay, so let's just begin by reading the Pesukim inside. And this is when the Miraglim are on their way back. Vayashuvu mitur ha'aretz miketz arba'im yom. The Miraglim finished their 40 days of spying. Vayelchu v'yavau el Moshe v'al Aaron v'al kol hadas b'nei Yisrael al midbar par in Kadesha. Vayashivu osam davar. And now they're going to issue the report. V'eskol la'ida, they gathered everyone together to hear the report. Vayarum es pri ha'aretz, and to show them the fruit of the land. Vayisapru lo v'yomru bonu el ha'aretz asher shalachtanu. We went to the land as your shlichim, maybe that was the mistake, you should have been a shliach of Hashem. V'gam zavas chalav u'davashi, and it is a land that's flowing with chalav u'davash. What's chalav? Milk? Is Eretz Yisrael known for its milk? I mean, milk in the bags is cool and everything, but is Eretz Yisrael known and provided? It could be wine. If you look in Shir HaShirim, on the pasuk in, I think it's the fifth parak, where it says, Shasisi yeni imchalbi. I drink my wine with my milk. So that's strange because people don't usually drink wine with milk. So if you look at the Targum there, the Targum points out, and Reuven Margolius points this out on one of his svarim, I think the Sefer HaMikra V'HaMesorah, he says that if you look in the Targum, yeni imchalbi means red wine and white wine. Right? So chalav actually, and certainly white wine, is the grape products of Eretz Yisrael. And the wine of Eretz Yisrael is particularly delicious. But whatever it may be, Zavas Chalav Udavash, that's all true. Here are the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. That's all true. Off to a great start. Pasuk Chavches. Ephes. The famous Ephes. However. The paralyzing however. But. Ki az ha'am ha'yoshe v'aretz. V'arim b'tzuros gedolos. The people there are very difficult people. And it's highly fortified cities. V'gam yalidei ha'nakre inusham, as the Malbim and many others explain. They're adding layer upon layer here. You might think that they're fortified cities because they're a bunch of weaklings. No. They're fortified cities, and they happen to be, even without fortified cities, massive giants and warriors. Right, so basically everything is stacked against us. It's a beautiful land. But it's not shayach. It's not realistic for us to conquer such a land. Amalek Yoshev ve'eretz ha'negev describes some of the, again, the people who are dwelling throughout the land, and they're giving this report, and it's going on and on, and who knows how much longer it would go. Now, of course, there are two good spies who need to put a stop to this and try somehow, in a desperate moment, to turn the conversation. And that's what I want to focus on tonight. Pasuk Lamed, Vayahas Kalev Esa'am El Moshe. Kalev silence, Vayahas. Kalev silences the people. Rashi says, Has is almost like a shushing sound. In one of his interpretations. V'yahas kalev esa'am el Moshe. Kalev silences the people towards Moshe. Maybe to give Moshe a chance to speak. Maybe silencing the people on behalf of Moshe. We'll see Rashi's pshat in a second. Svarno as well.
Once he's far inside, I'll mention it. Vayomer alo na'ale. Kalev silences the crowd, and then he says very simply back to everyone, alo na'ale, we're going. Ascend, we shall ascend. Vayarashnu osak yachol nuchal la, because we're able to do it, period. Now, what exactly did Kalev do? Originally, earlier in the week, the topic for tonight's shir was going to be about what Kalev did. What did Kalev do? And then the topic changed. So if you want to hear about the other one, we could talk about it offline. Vayahas Kalev, says Rashi in the second source, Hishtikas Kulam, Vayahas, a lashon of silence. Kalev silenced everyone. El Moshe, El Moshe means Lishmoa Mashia Dabar Moshe. Let's, right? Kalev wasn't sure himself. We need the leader to speak up. I don't know, Moshe Rabbeinu, you talk. You were the ones who sent us. Okay, again, I'm not going to get into it now. There's a lot to talk about. In fact, who was responsible? We just started. We stalled quite a bit. Sure. It was like the pshara, you know? Everyone has to... Started 2 minutes ago. Fine. So what were we saying? So they said, yeah, so Kalev silenced everyone. El Moshe. Lishmo Mashi Yadaber Moshe. Right, so again, who exactly was the Mishaleach here? Who sent... Did Hashem send them? I mean, it sort of sounds like Hashem sent them. Of course, Rashi retracts half a step and says, well, they didn't have to go. Hashem was giving them permission to go. And yet later, it does seem like it's a divinely ordained mission. There's a lot to figure out. Who are they representing? Who are they supposed to represent? Did Hashem, in fact, want them to go? Did Hashem allow them to go? Did Hashem not really want them to go? But like the parent who says, fine, do what you want, which of course means don't actually do it. And they kind of miss the point. Either way, Kalev looks to Moshe to maybe offer a response. Right? But then says Rashi an amazing thing. Kalev screams out and he says, V'chizu bilvar asulanu ben Amram. Speaking in a scornful fashion, he says, and is this the only thing that the son of Amram did for us? So now, people are excited. Kalev's about to really rip it, right? Ben Amram. Ben Amram, we mentioned Lag BaOmer time, the question. We always refer to Rishum Bar Yochai as Bar Yochai. What, he doesn't have, like the Munkat Rebbe asked, what, he's not worthy of his own name? To call someone by their father's name, to the exclusion of their own name, is potentially a derogatory way to refer to someone. It means they don't have their own merits, they're just living in the shadow of their of those who came before them. So is this the only thing that Ben Amram did for us? Hashomeya hayasavar shabal esafer b'gnuso. So everyone said, ooh, Moshe's really going to get it now. People started to pay attention. Mitoch shahaya b'libam al Moshe b'shvil divrei ha'maragdim. Moshe's going to be the one who gets blamed for all of this. Shoskon kulam lishmoa gnuso. He quieted everyone down, pretending that he was going to speak negatively about Moshe. And then once he had everyone's attention, he said, is this the only thing that Ben Amram did for us? You know what else he did for us? He split the sea, took us out of Mitzrayim, gave us the man, he brought us the slav, right? Meaning he was reminding Klai, so catch yourselves for a second. Everyone's very frustrated, everyone's bent out of shape. And he got their attention by pretending to add, you know, fuel to the fire of the Meraglim. But then once he had their attention, he faked everyone out and switched directions. So I was going to speak, the topic early in the week was going to be about fake-outs, about using this technique to fake out the Yetzer Hara, and using this technique, interesting scenarios in halacha, where we see that sometimes you could use a fake-out in order to clarify a halachic situation. I had some interesting thoughts on that. End of the day, that's not tonight's topic, but what a brilliant move by Kalev, right? That Kalev was able to get everyone, right, to give Kalev their attention. And then once he had them, he was able to then steer them in the right direction. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein points out something, and we are getting, as scary as a thought as it is, and most of us are thinking, what are you talking about? We're getting close to the Yom Noram. I know it's probably not the first thing on most of our minds, right? But the word tzaddikim on Shavuos, we're already saying, ooh, I think 17 weeks till Yom Noram. Like, there was a cheshbon. We're getting there. We're getting close. Okay, so we're not, there's still plenty of time. We still have the whole summer to do tshuva and to get ourselves ready. But I'll just share with you an interesting insight of Rav Moshe Feinstein on this pasuk. Because Rav Moshe says, let's think about this. How long did he actually get people to have a change of heart for? Meaning he got everyone's attention by pretending he's about to destroy Moshe Rabbeinu. Everyone's very interested. All of a sudden he says some very great praises of Moshe Rabbeinu. Everyone's nodding, you're right, that's true. Moshe Rabbeinu, Taka is a good leader. Moshe did a lot of good things for us. And then a couple seconds later, everyone's back to the attack. So for a few seconds, Kalev was able to change their heart. And here, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, we see from here that a couple of seconds of something is also something. A couple of seconds of thinking correctly, even if a minute later you're going to descend back into your
into your, you know, falsified understanding of reality, and you're going to start pointing fingers at Moshe Rabbeinu Kilu that this whole Chet HaMeraglim was his fault, right? But for a moment, Klal Yisrael was able to catch themselves. And that's not nothing. Someone once came to the Chazon Ish, Shavuos time, right after Shavuos, and said, you know, after going through Sfiras HaOmer, I feel that I worked my way up to Shavuos, and Shavuos was really great, but after Shavuos, none of my Kabbalah Sator really stuck. So the Chazon Ish said to him, and do you think it's a small thing to have been close to Hashem for a number of days or for a number of weeks? Is that nothing too? Meaning the process itself is chashuv. So for a moment, Kalib was able to turn the hearts of Klal Yisrael back to an appreciation for Moshe Rabbeinu before, again, things fell apart and Klal Yisrael started to cry and we ended up with Tisha B'Av for the last, you know, whatever, since that time period and everything else that Tisha B'Av has evolved to be throughout the generations. But for a moment, for that moment of wholehearted tshuva, that Klal Yisrael said, yeah, these Meraglim are wrong, Kalib is right. For that moment, that's also not something to be overlooked. Okay, but again, this was Kalev's approach to silence the people and to try to steer the ship in the right direction. Later on, we find, if you look at the pasuk in the next source, a little bit later in the parsha, Parak Yudalid, pasuk Chav Dalid, when it describes Kalev, when the Torah wants to praise Kalev, Va'avdi Kalev Ekev Haisaruach Acheres Imo, because Kalev had a different spirit, because Kalev was willing to take on a very significant group. Again, the Meraglim were selected as what? As heads of their tribes. These were not small people. And because Kalev had a different spirit, and because of that, of course, Kalev is going to be treated differently than basically the rest of the Dor HaMidbar. Says Rashi, in the fourth source on the page, Ruach Acheres, Shtei Ruchus. Kalev was two-faced in the best way possible. Achas Bepev, Achas Belev. Kalev was able to be one way in his heart and to be one way with his lips. He was able to say one thing when really he meant something else, and in a good way, in the best of ways. And again, there's a time and a place for that, as we're about to learn. L'meraglim amar ani imachem be'etza. To the meraglim he said, I'm with you. He pretended to go along with it. He needed to. He was outnumbered. Uvalibo hayalomar ha'emes. But in his heart, he was able to hold on to the truth of the matter. Sometimes a person's in an environment and it's not the right moment to make a whole macha. It's not the time to raise your voice. Right? And sometimes you have to play along on some level. Right? But like the famous story with the Rabbi Nachman of Breslov in his stories, you know, you have to mark your forehead to at least remember that you're crazy. Or to remember what it was like to think right before everyone else made you crazy. That there should in some way have the ability to retreat to proper thinking. So Kalev, maybe when he was with the Meraglim, he was pretending to go, he had no choice. But his heart, he was able to hold on to the truth of the matter. And by playing along with them, when the time came for Vayahas Kalev to silence everyone, the Meraglim didn't shoot him down. They said, he's one of us. And he was able to actually get everyone's attention. And for that moment, again, to start to remind them of who Moshe Rabbeinu was. Rashi points out, we see this one other place in Tanakh, again by Kalev specifically, and that's in Sefer Yoshua Perek Yudalid. The Pasuk says in Sefer Yoshua, it says, that Kalev is speaking there, Va'ashev oso davar kasher im levavi. I responded at that time what was in my heart. What did Kalev mean by that? V'lo kasher im pi. I was able to express the true feelings of my heart, not what I had been saying all along. And again, it was dafka because he was playing along with it on the surface, that when the time came for him to really say what was in his heart, he was able to actually pull it off and get away with it. Okay, so this was the Vayahas Kalev as Ha'am El Moshe. But let's go on to the second half of Pasuk Lamed. And here's where the Eish Kodesh has an amazing insight. Kalev's response. What's Kalev's response? Again, the Meraglim are presenting what seems to be a very balanced report. The Ramban makes a big deal out of this word, Ephes, right? Ephes sucked the life out of the hopes of Klal Yisrael. But Ephes just means, however, a balanced report. The fruit is beautiful. What they say about the land, magnificent. However, you should just know, there are giants. There are fortified cities. It seems like an impossible battle. So what would be a good response to such a presentation? Maybe to say, well, Hashem is going to fight for us. Maybe to say, explain, well, we have military, here's my military strategy. Kalev's response is overly simplistic. What does Kalev say? In two words, alo nale, we're going. What's your justification? What's your explanation? We're going. Stam, we're going?
Right? Someone just told you you're going to get killed if you go there. Well, I'm going anyways. Well, then you're an idiot. Right? What's alo na'ale? What kind of foolish response is that? Alo na'ale, we're just going. Ki yachol nuchala, we can do it. We can do it? Let's, really? Because they just explained very clearly why we can't do it. So what's the what is this courageous and confident alo na'ale? It seems almost foolish. It seems like he's not thought out. He explains the Piyazetz to the Rebbe. Now let's just remember the context here. The Piyazetz to the Rebbe, 1940. This is in the first Torahs of the Eish Kodesh. Right? The first cycle in the Eish Kodesh, the first year of the Eish Kodesh, is 1940. Okay, so just try to understand the context of where he's sitting and the likelihood of his own survival, which unfortunately he would die at the hands of the Nazis in Yimach Shemah. So let's just try to understand how the Piyazetz to the Rebbe was trying to find in the Parsha hope for those Jews who were sitting there, you know, not knowing what their own fate would be when everyone told them it's over. Many people had given up hope. He's trying to mechazik them. Look what he writes. It's beautiful. The bottom of page one. Alo na'ale v'yarashnu osa ki yachol nuchala. V'navina. We need to understand. Ha ha-meraglim dvarim shel tam v'seichel amru. The meraglim presented something which is logical, which is sensible. The meraglim, again, b'derech ha-pshat, didn't say anything so egregious. They didn't slander Eretz Yisrael. They just spoke the truth. What did they do wrong? Efes ki oz ha'am. Va'orim b'tzuros, fortified cities. They spoke the truth. And Kali, if you have a retort, so make it, give it some substance. What's your explanation? Explain otherwise. Explain how they misinterpreted something. Right? What kind of way is this to win a court case? Right? It's like a childish way to respond. You just want it to be that way. That's nice. The parent's trying to explain to the child why this doesn't make sense. And the kid says, but I want to. That's wonderful that you want to. And that's why I'm your parent and I'm a little bit smart and I'm telling you this doesn't make sense right now. Now it's not the time or the place. And all he says is, stam, alo na'ale, we're going. What kind of response is that? Says the Piyazetz to the Rebbe in the second paragraph. Aval kach suicha lios amunas isha Yisraeli. The amuna of a Jew has to be such that if you have to do something, you're going to find a way to do it, period. If you know, if Libi Omerli, and Kali, we see again in the Psukim, he was Echad Bapev, Echad Balev, which means his heart was in the right place. Sometimes he was in an environment where he had to talk a certain way. But later he would use that to help him. It was always part of that stepping stone to be able, in the right time, to megala the feelings of his heart. Kali understood, Libi Omerli, that we can do this. I don't need to explain anything. I don't need to justify how Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to do this. I know that Hashem has promised Klal Yisrael Eretz Yisrael. I know that God's not even so thrilled with this whole spying mission. So I'm just going to stick to the basics. The basics are Hashem promised the Avos that the Jews are going to Eretz Yisrael. And we're going to Eretz Yisrael. Alo na'ale. That's my emuna in a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's my emuna in Klal Yisrael. I remember years ago I was walking on a Shabbos morning. There was someone who was starting a minyan in the neighborhood. And it was a new minyan, and it was part of an initiative to add something new to the community. And I remember I got there a little early for Shacharis, and I was helping to just set up for Shacharis, setting up the tables. And Kodesh Baruch Hu put an idea in my head that morning. We say, after we finish Kriyas HaTorah, right, Yikom Porkan, we're giving out various forms of blessing. And one of the lines that we say is, "Kol mi she'osek b'tzarchei tzibur be'emunah." Right? We give a bracha to people who are osek b'sarchei tzibur. People who are involved in all sorts of communal work. I was coming right before the shir. I was coming from Beth Abraham, where the Distenfeld family was having a very unique siyum commemorating the art set of Fred Distenfeld, Olav Shalom, and his son, spearheaded by Gershon, who I'm very close with. They had an idea to have, as opposed to what many people do, a siyum of learning, but to have a chesed siyum. A chesed siyum. Why? Because Fred Distenfeld, Olav Shalom, was a person who did tremendous chesed. I'll tell you just one story that Gersh mentioned when he spoke a few minutes ago. He said that he got an email from a friend. Again, people signed up for a whole variety of hours and hours of different types of chesed. Then he got an email from someone who said, "I finished my chesed this morning. I completed my pledge this morning to the chesed siyum." He said, "How did I do that?" He said, "There was an almana who was just getting back from the airport at 4 a.m. this morning, and I got up at 3:30 this morning to pick her up and give her a ride back from the airport." So Gershon said, "That's really amazing. That's a wonderful thing."
He says, that's a tremendous tribute to my father. He says, it's not just a tribute to your father. Where do you think I learned that from? I learned it from your father. Because when my father once came back at 4 o'clock in the morning and needed someone to pick him up from the airport, it was your father who got up at 3 o'clock in the morning and in his quiet, unassuming way came to help people. Right? To be the type of person who's osek b'tzarchei tzibur. It's an amazing thing. So they're making a big siyum now, a big suzas mitzvah now. Like Gersh said, if it was up to him, he'd make up his own hadron. You know, out of respect for the rabbis in the room, he decided not to do that. But no, really, it's a tremendous celebration. And it's a truer testament in many ways to his father's legacy than just learning Mishnayos, Kalim, and Olos, which is also very chosh. I'm not taking away from that, God forbid. Right? So a person who's osik b'tzarchei tzibur, we give a bracha to them every Shabbos morning. What does it mean to be osik b'tzarchei tzibur be'emuna? So what does it mean? So you're the shul treasurer and you don't steal money? You do it faithfully? And that's also something. Unfortunately, you hear tragic stories. Right? What's the emuna? The emuna means that you're faithful. What does it mean you're faithful? So I would say faithful means you're the guy who comes every week and sets up shalosh shudas, right? Or you're the woman who bakes a challah every time someone new moves into the neighborhood. Right? You do it with what? With a sense of commitment. That's the emuna. Emuna means you're faithful, you're neman. You're trustworthy to carry out the task. If you're the guy who opens up the shul first person in the morning and turns on the urn for the coffee, so you're there every morning, you don't miss a morning. That's the push-up shot in Kol Mi She'osek B'Tzarchei Tzibur Be'emuna. But I remember thinking that morning as we were trying to pull together this minyan and this new initiative, I remember thinking, it's a different shot. To be osek b'tzarchei tzibur be'emuna means you have to have emuna in the tzibur. Right? A person who puts themselves out there to try to do something believing that the tzibur is going to get it done. That you sign up for something, right? Confident that someone else is also going to sign up and somehow the pieces are going to come together. Because if other people don't join in, then the whole event's going to fail. Right? I had to be osik b'tzarchei tzibur be'emuna as I was printing out these Mayim Rekumo sheets from our printer at home tonight, wondering how many copies I should make. It's always a struggle. You know, and the Yitzhar is always like, make 3 copies. No one's coming. Everyone's busy with their summer plans at this point. And Baruch Hashem, we ran out of copies again, so that's good. We should continue to, and I have to have better emuna in the tzibur. Right? The Meraglim didn't have enough emuna in Klal Yisrael as an entity. Of Knesset Yisrael, whatever it was, we're not strong enough, we're not capable enough, we're not worthy enough. Whatever was stopping them from going up to Eretz Yisrael, the Meraglim had a cheshbon. And by the way, the enemy was very fierce in Eretz Yisrael. Practically, it doesn't make sense. We're a bunch of wimpy Jews. They're a big, strong people. And yet, Kalif says, no. Where's the Amun and Klal Yisrael? Alona Aleh, period. We are going to go up. And Hashem is going to help us. And we're the Jewish people. And we're going to get the job done. We've outlasted all of our enemies. And this was early on, all the more so at this point in Jewish history. How could we not believe in one of the wonders of the world that Klal Yisrael exists today? Lo bilvad b'shah. Now, again, let's remember context here. 1940, Piazetz Rebbe, Warsaw Ghetto. Lo bilvad b'shah sheroa mavo v'derech li'ishuaso. Gam al pisichlo v'derech ha'teva ya'amin ba'ashem shioshiyahu v'yishchazek. Not only when I see a pathway, when I know exactly how I can be saved, or I will be saved, or b'derech hateva, it makes sense that I will be saved, right? Okay, there's work to be done, but at least I see a path. So obviously, in such a moment, it's easier for a person to believe. That's not amuna. Ragam b'shosh she'enu rochas v'shalom shum mavo. When you're surrounded by Nazis on all sides, when millions of Jews are being killed, to believe that, no, Hashem's going to save us. To the last minute, to your dying breath, to believe that Klal Yisrael is going to go on, and even if we don't go on as individuals, there's no way Hitler Yimach Shmo is going to destroy all the Jewish people. We go back to the legacy of Yaakov Avinu. When he goes to fight against Esau, we're going to get to it in a couple of moments on the second side of the page. That he divides his camp in half. You remember the Svara? If Esau kills one half of the camp, well then at least the other half will survive. So I ask you a simple question. Maybe Esau will kill the first half, and then Esau will kill the second half. Look at the Shem Yishmuel's Haggadah by Yachatz. The Shem Yishmuel's Haggadah says when we break that matzah, that middle matzah, it's the same thing. When we put aside a piece for later, it means no matter how much the enemies are going to break us, there'll always be a piece that survives. There'll always be a remnant. Yaakov's Svar is 100% correct. If Esav kills a lot of us, some of us are going to make it. And I have emunah in that. I hope to be amongst the survivors. But I have emunah for sure. There's no question Klal Yisrael are going to get to Eretz Yisrael. And they did. And by the way, because of your lack of emunah, all of you are not going to get to Eretz Yisrael. But the reality of Klal Yisrael getting to Eretz Yisrael is going to be true. So again, take a look. The second paragraph of the Eish Kodesh here in the third line. When there's no pathway, when all the gates have been closed, there's nothing, there's no way you could draw up a plan, rationally, logically. And there's no way that you can envision being saved. Continue to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And don't be so stubborn as to try to find an explanation, a logical explanation. It gets annoying when people are still doing studies. And again, I understand the desire, and there's some truth to them to do studies on, you know, how is it that Klal Yisrael have survived throughout the generations, right? And they could do a sociological study on how we're here today. But it goes beyond that, because we're an Am Segula. As the Yira Kaddish, the Holy Jew of Prishischa, used to emphasize, a Segula is something that doesn't make sense. Right? Tylenol you can explain. I can't explain it to you. But a doctor can explain by what mechanism it's working. A Segula is something that defies rational thought. It's something of a metaphysical nature. We're an Am Segula. You don't need to do studies on us to try to explain, right, rationally, how it is that somehow, despite being the tiny, oppressed nation that we are, we've beaten all the odds. Again, what you say might have some truth to it, but it's not gonna solve the mystery of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, says the P.S.S. Rebbe, it's almost better for us not to try to figure it out, to just rely on that emunah, the emunah of Klal Yisrael, the emunah ba'Hashem, because we're not going to solve it. And even when it seems that all the pathways are closed, continue to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't allow a pagam to be created in your emunah. Rather, what should you say to yourself? Look what he writes, four lines from the end, middle of the line. Rak tzarech lomar, hakol emes. And this is what this. Now listen, the P.S.S. Rebbe often talks to us. He doesn't just write divrei Torah; he talks to us. And this is what Kaliv was saying. This is reading between the lines. What Kaliv was saying: hakol emes, miraglim, you're right. Biderach ateva, you're 100% right. From a strictly logical, rational, military standpoint, you're right. It doesn't make sense. Sha'oz ha'am ha'yoshev ba. Yes, the people in that land are physically stronger than us, a bunch of scrawny Jews. Kainim ha'dvarim sha'orim b'tzuros. You're absolutely correct. I'm not denying. Kali says, I'm not trying. I saw it with my own eyes. Yes. The arim are b'tzuros. The cities are fortified. It's true. V'chulu, v'chulu, v'chulu. Mikol makom. But Afal Pichen, I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help us to find the way out. Alo Na'ale, we're going to go up. I'm not going to explain it to you because I don't need to explain it to you. And I myself don't understand it. V'yarashnu osa, ki achol nuchal, b'lo seichel u'v'lo svara, v'emuna u'bitachon kazeh, b'Hashem, v'karev yisishu aseinu. And that's the P.S.S. the Rebbe's not only Pirush of Parsha Shlach, of what Kali was trying to do to change the whole approach of the Meraglim and Klal Yisrael by extension, but that was his message to the Jews sitting there in very hopeless times. Let's not even try to figure out how it's going to play itself out, because it's beyond. It's completely beyond. It's beyond that any one of us should survive, and again, many of them didn't survive. Right? It wasn't a rosy story for them, but for Klal Yisrael, he wanted them to know 100% Klal Yisrael are going to survive. We can't believe otherwise. We have to have that strong emunah and bitachon. That emunah and bitachon, not to question. And emunah and bitachon is a beautiful remez. Different ways to say pshat in this remez. It's a little bit off topic, but I'll just mention the remez because it's a beautiful remez. One of the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon said, if you take the gematria of emunah plus bitachon, okay, so let's do it for a second. Emunah is 102, and bitachon is 75. So emunah plus bitachon is 177. So tzaddikim explain 177 is gematria gan eden. Emunah plus bitachon is gan eden. Right? There's different ways you could say pshat in that remez. There's different svarim bring different explanations of what that remez means. Right? But we're about to see. Actually, we're about to go back to gan eden on the second side of the page for a minute. And we're gonna remind ourselves that there were a couple of Jews in Gan Eden, because there only were a couple of Jews in Gan Eden, right? That Adam and Chava got a little too smart, and they wanted to say their own svara, and they had their own way of doing things, and they didn't just simply do what God asked of them, And that ruined everything. The Meraglim, you want to go take a look? Hashem says, go take a look. But I'm telling you, be careful. It could mess up your emunah if you start to understand too much. It could be destructive. It can move you farther away from Gan Eden. So much so that in the Torah, we find the Jews are saying, maybe we should go back to Mitzrayim. Remember what did they say about Mitzrayim? It's Kigan Hashem. That's Gan Eden. Our Gan Eden's in Mitzrayim. Really? Really? You forgot so quickly? The hell on earth that was Mitzrayim? Eretz Yisrael's Gan Eden. No, Eretz Yisrael's too complicated. It's complicated if you make it complicated. If you just let HaKadosh Baruch Hu call the shots there, then it's really not so complicated. And a person, again, who lives a life of Amun and Bitachon, lives, again, that exalted utopian life that way Gan Eden could have been. And it requires just surrendering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's turn to the second side of the page. And let's learn an amazing piece of Torah that I really just found this morning from the Yismach Yisrael. Okay, and I decided I want to focus and just learn this piece inside instead of adding, you know, 12 other Maror Makomos inside, shorter pieces. Let's just learn. We're going to skip because our hour's already a little bit late. But let's try to learn through some piece. Okay, he wants to understand, who was he? The Yismach Yisrael was the Rebbe of Alexander. Mirtz Hashem, this coming year in YU, this past year we learned the Kedushas Levi every Thursday. That was our Shir Sefer. We have the schus to teach a Shabbos morning at Beth Abraham as well. And this coming year, Mirtz Hashem, we're going to learn the Yismach Yisrael. It's an amazing Sefer. He was an amazing tzaddik, the Alexander Rebbe. He passed away in 1910. And it's a Sefer that's filled with perspective. Tremendous chizik. He didn't name the Sefer himself. The Sefer was published in 1911 after he had passed away. Yismach Yisrael, they called it Yismach Yisrael because his whole life was dedicated to just putting a smile on the face of Jews. And it was tough times for many of those Jews, and he always had a beautiful way of turning things around. And he just wants to understand what was so terrible about the Chayyim Rav. They came back, they gave an honest report. This was like such a horrible chayt that we're still trying to deal with till this day. What was so bad? What was so bad? They said, we're not worthy. Why should we assume Hashem is going to do miracles for us? Ain't somchen al anes. You've heard that phrase before? We're not supposed to be somech on nisim. So they went. They made a reasonable report. They came back. Right? It was disappointing. Jews cried. And all of a sudden, everything's falling apart. What was so terrible about what they said? And the thought, by the way, that Hashem maybe retracted and changed his mind. Is that possible? Did anyone else in Jewish history have a promise from God for protection and then got it? Yes, there was someone named Yaakov Avinu. Katonti mikola chasadim. Yaakov thought, maybe, yeah, I know God, you promised that you're going to be with me and take care of me. But maybe I used up all those merits. So maybe I'm done. Maybe I shouldn't assume that I'm going to be protected. Right? So what separates Yaakov Avinu? What separates Yaakov Avinu the Klal Yisrael here, from Yaakov Avinu, who also seemingly questioned Hashem, right? Or how about the Jews in Mitzrayim? The Jews in Mitzrayim also questioned the Kadosh Baruch Hu, had certain doubts, right? So what was unreasonable about their doubts? We're going to skip over that first paragraph you have on the page, and we'll start right after that line break in the middle. Okay, we'll go a couple words into that line where it says, Achein be'emes Yaakov Avinu. Everyone see where we are on side two of the page? Right after that first paragraph. And then halfway through that first line right after that. What was the difference? He writes an amazing thing. He says, Achein be'emes Yaakov Avinu olav ha'shalom. Yes, Yaakov Avinu was very afraid. But there's a difference between being afraid and maybe even being able to justifiably explain why you're afraid, but still pushing ahead because you know Hashem has your back. Again, it's okay. You're a human being. God knows you're a human being. God knows that you have certain human fears. And that's part of being a human being. But can I draw on the wellsprings of my neshama to push through? Despite being afraid. Having the questions but still doing the job. Let me just say it outside for a second. The Meraglim said, we're so concerned that we're calling everything off. That was the difference. Yaakov was also scared. But Yaakov divided his camp with the absolute confidence that somehow he was going to survive. On a personal level, he said, I don't know, maybe I used my merits, this doesn't make sense to me, it doesn't seem fair. Again, he was a thinking person. But at the same time, Yaakov said, but afal pichein, I'm going out to Esav. He didn't run away from Esav. He continued to carry out the mission. Let's read inside. Yaakov, Avinu olav ha'shalom, af sheyari lenafsho, pein yavo Esav iko. Even though Yaakov was afraid that Esav would come and strike him down, afal pichein, osa b'chol kocho lilchom imo. But he still said, part of me says, I can't do it, but part of me says, Aval Pichin, I'm going to do it. That's the same Kaliv, Alona Aleh, what choice do I have? I have to do what I have to do. I'm a Jew. Ubatach as atzom ba'Hashem. He solidified his strength, his faith in Hashem. Asher b'vada yazor lo. Right? He's echad b'peh v'echad b'lev. On the one hand, he's going out to fight against it. On the other hand, he's saying, I can't do it, I can't do it. I can do it, but I can't do it. You know, he's struggling, but he's doing it. V'yichatz as ha'am, he divides his camp because he believes some of them will survive. V'gam am ha'yisraeli k'shiyotzum Mitzrayim. When the Jews left Mitzrayim, they were also at the Yam, they're panicked. I don't know, should we go back? But they're jumping into the water. So make up your mind, Jews. Do you believe in God or not? And the answer is, of course we believe in God. We're also human beings, so we're scared. When Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, after Shalu Lemosha, as was mentioned in the Medrash that we skipped over, we didn't read it inside. We call Makum Holchu Achrav. At the end of the day, bottom line, did the Jews pack their bags and leave? Or did they chicken out? The bottom line is they did what a Jew needed to do. Alo Na'ala. They were scared, but Afal Pichin, they did it. Zachartila, and Hashem says it was amazing to watch. Despite your fears, you push through. Zachartila Chesed Nurayach, says the Navi, Yirmiyah, in the second parak. I remember your kindness. Lechtech Achrai Bamidbar Beretz Lo Zeruah. You had no clue how this was going to work out. You were justifiably scared, but you did what you needed to do. V'lo Soru Chalila Medivri Hashem. Aval HaMaraglim, but the Maraglim were so afraid that they became paralyzed by that fear to the point that they weren't able to do. Five lines from the bottom in the right column. Vizos haya ikar hachet. You can underline it. Here's the key point. Ki al ma hayalahem lachshov mashia acherkach. You know what the problem is? You know what messes us up a lot in many aspects of our life? And this is the point we're going to end tonight's shiur on this whole section here. You know what stops a lot of people from being growing Jews? You know what stops people from learning more or at all? You know what stops Jews from davening better or at all? Right? It's the fear of what comes next. What happens after this? Like, how is this? It's not sustainable. It's not realistic. It doesn't make sense. I can't see it all the way through, so I'm not going to do anything. And that's not the Mahalach. Yaakov Avinu also couldn't see it all the way through, but he did. Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim couldn't see it all the way through, but they did. They did what they needed to do. Vayas Kein Aaron, like we read this last week's Parsha. Vayas Kein Aaron, the praise of Aaron is that what he just kept doing. Because a Jew has to do it. You got to find a way to just keep doing. We don't know it. We don't know the end of the story. None of us in this room know the end of the story. But we're here and we're learning and we're davening and we're trying. And they're making a chesed siyum down the block on 1,700 hours of chesed because we believe that our actions still matter. And we try to do another mitzvah. And we take another step. We don't know. We don't know exactly where it goes. How many people, right, don't learn because they're not sure if they can sustain that learning? So a new daf yomi cycle comes around, right? So there's the people already poking fun, already telling you, people are discouraged from learning Maseches Brachos. You know why? Because they know they're going to drop out from Maseches Shabbos, right? And they're already being like mocked a little bit that they're going to drop out. So learn Brachos, even if you don't learn Shabbos. Everyone says the famous line. The Chazal said about Shabbos Kodesh, the weekly Shabbos. When Shabbos comes, Menucha comes. Right? So people start learning Daf Yomi. They learn Maseches Brachos. Maseches Shabbos comes, it's a much bigger Masechta. Comes along Shabbos, comes along Menucha. People say, okay, I've come. That's as far as I can go. Right? And you have some people still pushing along in Zvachim right now. Okay. Right? But why do I have to worry about what comes next? People have all sorts of cheshbonos. I don't know. If I start learning, what? Right? Why should I join the shiur? They're planning on having this shiur every week. I can only come 1 week, so why should I come 1 week? Why not come 1 week? Why not learn 1 minute of Torah today, even if I'll never learn another minute of Torah in my life? There's a gevaldik pshat from the Lev Simcha, the Ger Rebbe. Lev Simcha is the fifth Ger Rebbe. Mishnah says in Avos, in the fourth parak, Hevi mamait be'esek v'asok v'torah. So the Pasha Pshat is, be mamayit be'esek, don't spend your whole life making more and more money. Limit your esek, your business dealings. And rather, asok b'torah and put time into learning Torah. Don't get caught up in all sorts of worldly pursuits. Better to put time into Torah. So the Ger Rebbe said, I have a different Pshat. Heve mamayit be'esek, people sometimes make a big esek about learning. Right? They make all sorts of calculations about why they can learn or can't learn, and so you know what the Ger Rebbe said? The Ger Rebbe said, The Gemara talks about, Chazal talk about how the Hasidim Rishonim would spend a lot of time preparing for davening. They would spend an hour before davening, an hour after davening. We find such an idea in Chazal. But we don't find such an idea when it comes to Torah. Now you'll tell me what it means. Rosh Omer, 7 weeks of preparing for, that was for Kabbalah Satar. But we don't find you have to sit for an hour, right, before you open your Gemara. So you know what the Ger Rebbe said? Have a mamayit be'esek. Don't make all sorts of calculations of asok patar. Just learn. Just learn. So you're going to drop out tomorrow? And what are people going to say? So you're not a serious learner? You only learned one day? One day of learning is not a small thing, like the Chazanish said to that fellow. To be close to Hashem for a short period of time, that's okay. Whatever happens after, happens after. But you got to just throw yourself in. You have to jump in. Sfasemis writes in Parshas Kisavo, Tafresh Nun Beis. Sfasemis says that we know that Ein Mayim El Torah. It's a Gemara in Bava Kamma Daf Yud Zayin, the end of the first parak of Bava Kamma. Types of water, right? There's water that a person could pass through very easily, like a little puddle. You're walking down the street, you see a little bit of water, right? So you may want to walk around it. If you're a little kid, you dafka want to walk in it, right? But even the adult knows this is the type of puddle I could step in and not ruin my shoe, and this type of puddle if I step in, it will ruin my shoe, right? Then there's some water, which is much more serious, but it's not life-threatening. Then there's water, if I don't know how to navigate it, it could kill me. A person who doesn't know how to swim, there's waters that can kill. Right? Even a person who does know how to swim, there's waters that can kill. So Sfasema says, Ein Mayim El Torah. Sometimes Torah, right? Sometimes Torah seems like a small little puddle. It's very easy to navigate. But sometimes in Torah, it's like swimming. Can you teach, Sfasema says, can you teach someone how to swim without first getting in the water? Imagine I want to give you swim lessons. So I get this book with all sorts of color pictures, and we're standing there on the shore, and we're practicing the various strokes. Yeah? And you're holding your breath. At the end of the day, you can't learn how to swim until what? Until you get into the water. Stop with all the planning and all the calculations and the, I'm not, who am I to learn? It contradicts so many other things that I do in my life. Stop with all the, don't make a business out of it. That's what the Leiv Simcha said is the pshat in the Mishnah. Don't make such a business. Just learn. Just get involved. Just do what you have to do. Don't worry about what comes next. The Meraglim are too worried about what comes next. Right? The first step we know how to take. And what happens when we encounter those giants? Right? That was the Chet Meraglim. Let's read inside. It's powerful, the words. Ki al mahayelhem lachshov mashiach acharkach. Why were they so worried? We're 4 lines from the bottom of the right column. 10 more minutes to the shiur. Why were they so worried about what happens next? Shema yechtu chalil acharkach. Maybe we're going to do an avera later on and lose Eretz Yisrael. They understood, and again, we didn't read the whole piece inside, but they understood that Eretz Yisrael is giving to us on condition that it's going to be a land of Torah and mitzvos. Gave a shiur earlier today in the Kedushas Levi. He says the Meraglim were told what? Vayasuru. Vayasuru. It's spelled like Torah. Vayaturu. Torah. They were sent to the land to what? To pave the way with Torah and mitzvos. So what's going to be if we don't have Torah and mitzvos? Well, Eretz Yisrael is going to throw us out. So maybe we shouldn't get started with it. He writes at the very beginning of the piece that the Chet Meraglim was, we saw the land, there's tremendous Kedusha, but there's also tremendous potential for Tumah. Maybe we shouldn't get involved with this whole project. They're so worried about what comes next, it becomes paralyzing. Don't worry about, well, maybe I'll do an Aveira tomorrow, so therefore, what right do I have to do a mitzvah today? That's a crazy way to think. Says the Holy Rebbe of Alexander, that's not the Cheshbon. We shouldn't be making Rabos machshavos b'leiv ish. Va'atzas Hashem hisakum. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, just try, just do something. Va'alo im lo tishma ke'es l'kol Hashem at the over smitzas melech be'esazos. Listen to the svar. Listen to what he says. You're saying, I'm not going to go to Eretz Yisrael because maybe I'll let God down in the future. Maybe I'll let God down in the future, or definitely let God down right now because God wants me to go to Eretz Yisrael right now. Right? So by not listening to Hashem right now, you're vadai in violation. Look at the bottom line. Bevadai mutav lios besafek lachar zman milachto, top of the left column, miyad bevadai. Better to what? Better to definitely take on the maybe of the future, right, than to take on the definite of error right now. Hashem wants you to go to Eretz Yisrael. Well, what if we mess it up later? But you're already messing it up by thinking like that. Because Hashem is asking you right now to go to Eretz Yisrael. Yes, maybe you will mess it up in the future. But that's a maybe.
Safik and Vaday. In Halacha, we have a calculation. When you have a Vaday, a definite, going up against a Safik, a maybe, the Vaday wins. So the Vaday, what God is asking you right now is, Jews, go to Eretz Yisrael. Don't worry about what comes next. That's not part of our calculation. He quotes from a Simcha Bunu of Prashisch on the top of the left column, one of my favorite varts. The Holy Rebbe of the Rebbe of Bunu of Prashisch says this is exactly what happened in Gan Eden. And that's why, again, Amun and Bitachon is Gematria Gan Eden, because it was a lack of trust and faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that undermined the whole creation. What happened? The Nachash comes with a brilliant explanation. Listen to what the Nachash says. Al Tainas HaNachash La'im Kol Chai Hi Chava. The Nachash came to the mother of all humanity, namely Chava. Sha'amar La, listen, Chava, this is too easy. What's too easy? You don't have enough of a Yetzirah. It's too easy. So you know what? Let's eat from the tree of knowledge, Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra. Let's enter into the world of complicated choice. And then when you choose to do the right thing, Hashem made it too easy for you. There's not enough challenges right now. Hashem says you can do whatever you want, there's just one little tree don't eat from. It's too easy. Let's eat from that tree. Let's have a Yetzihara that's more pronounced. And then let's still make the right choice. Imagine how proud God will be if you make it more complicated and then still be a good Jew. Ki lo yelecha shum yetzar kmo malach. You're like an angel. What's the big deal that you serve God? Lech echol me'etz hadas, ledas tov v'ra. Let's enter into that world, right, of choices, of tov and ra. Let's enter into that world of an evil inclination. Hainu she'oz ye bechira b'yaltcha she'tei degam ke me'ara. Then you'll know about the possibility of negativity. V'afal pichein. And nonetheless, you won't sin. And Hashem will be really proud of you. So Chava says, well, it's a great idea. You'll be on a much higher level than you're on right now. So the Nachash basically tricked Chava to go against Hashem with a calculation of what? No, but in the future it makes sense. So again, Chava, you're rejecting God, Vadai, right now, with the chance that maybe you'll be able to give Hashem nachas in the future. Well, why give Hashem maybe nachas in the future? Why not just listen to what God's asking of you right now? So what was the big chait? She should have said back to the nachash, halo be'ez hazos, right now, sha'ata mifateinu lechom eitz hadas, you right now, nachash, are trying to convince us to eat from this tree, asher tzivanu Hashem lo socha mimenu. My avoda right now is to listen to Hashem. So for Yaakov Avinu, that meant, despite the fact that he had all sorts of hesitations, he went to fight Esav. And despite Klal Yisrael not knowing how we're going to survive in the Midbar, we went into the Midbar. And the Jews, the Kalev-minded Jews, said, Alo na'ala, I hear everything you're saying. Like the PSS Rebbe said, Kainim, you're correct, you're 100% right. The cities are fortified, it's an impossible battle. Who cares? Hashem says we got to go, so we got to go. We need to do what we need to do. Jump down a couple lines where it says Tehillim Lamites in brackets. Here's the Vart from Rav Simcha Bunim. Rav Simcha Bunim explained. Rav Simcha Bunim from Prashischa explained. An amazing pasuk in Tehillim. What does it say in Tehillim? It says, Hinei tefachos nasati amai. Hinei tefachos nasati amai. What does that mean? What's a tefach? A tefach is a hand's breath. Life is like a hand's breath. What does it mean life is like a hand's breath? Life is made up of a lot of short choices. We can look at life as this one big, long thing that I have to figure the whole thing out in one shot. Or I could take life a tefach at a time. The halacha is, when it comes to the size of the shofar, you know how big a shofar needs to be? Well, shofars are bigger than that. The shofar has to be that you can grab it with your tefach. You know why? Because at Rosh Hashanah we're signing up to taking our life one tefach at a time. Hinei tefachos. What does the pasuk say? Hinei tefachos nasati amai. To make your life like a tefach. Why are you worrying about that part of the rope that's beyond your hand? Just hold on to that piece of the rope that's in your hand. If you try to grab too much at once, you're going to end up slipping and not having anything left in your hand. Kamo adam hamoded shivim ama. Imagine a person measuring a 70-foot or 70 amah rope, right? How much does he have in his hand at any one moment? As he's measuring the whole rope, he wants to measure the whole rope, that's fine. But you can't measure the whole rope at once. You have to take it piece by piece in order to get a precise calculation. And that's what life is. That
That which your hand has already passed over is behind you. That which is beyond you is still yet beyond you. To be in the moment, to ask yourself, what does Hashem want from me right now? It doesn't matter if I did an Avera yesterday. It doesn't matter if I'm going to do an Avera tomorrow. Right now I have the opportunity to jump in the water and swim. Right now I have the opportunity to learn Torah. I'm going to learn Torah. I'm going to make Kadosh Baruch Hu proud right now. And dafka when it comes to getting to Eretz Yisrael. Who was the blockage on the way to Eretz Yisrael? The blockage on the way to Eretz Yisrael was what? Sichon. Sichon Melech Heshbon. Sichon Melech Heshbon. Who is Sichon Melech Heshbon? What is Sichon Melech Heshbon? Right? Sichon Melech Heshbon. Sometimes we have too many Heshbonos. Too many calculations. And I'm talking about on the most practical level of a Jew making Aliyah, moving to Eretz Yisrael. We have all sorts of calculations while we're here. And many of them make a lot of sense. Right? But sometimes too many cheshbonos prevent the geula from taking place. These Jews had too many calculations. And Kalev said, very, very simple. Alo na'ale. Seize the moment. Live with amun in a klal Yisrael, amun in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Take life a tefach at a time. Don't worry about what comes next. Don't wait for the perfect moment to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. In Koheles Perek Yud Aleph, it says, Shomer Ruach lo Yizra. Shomer Ruach, first pasuk in the 11th Perek of Koheles. Shomer Ruach lo Yizra. Pashat Pshat, Shomer Ruach, if you're waiting for the wind, you're not going to plant. Right? Shomer Ruach, but says the Kajnitz or Magid, Shomer can mean to anticipate. Aviv Shamaras Hadavar. When Yaakov was informed about Yosef's dreams, right? Shomer, he anticipated, he was waiting for it. Shomer Ruach, lo Yizra. Sometimes a person is waiting for the Ruach, is waiting for a spiritually ripe moment. This isn't the right moment for me to get serious about my Avodas Hashem. This is not the right moment for me to start doing this particular service of Hashem. Why? Why not? Because it doesn't fit in with yesterday and tomorrow. Right? But take life a tefach at a time. Alo na'aleh, have a moon in Klal Yisrael, and take that first step, and just do what you need to do. Don't make excuses for yourself. That's the lesson that we're learning. And that's what he's calling here, really, the Iker Chet. The Iker Chet of Chet Amragim. Just go to the last couple lines, we'll end with this. Last three lines. V'zehu Iker Chet Amragim. Again, a new understanding. The Iker Chet Amragim was, Shebishvil Safik Shema Yechto Acherkach, out of a fear that maybe we'll let God down. Again, Eretz Yisrael is the palace. You can't just come to the palace. What if we mess up in the palace in the presence of the king? What if? But if you don't go to Eretz Yisrael, you've already messed up. The fear of maybe messing up in the future, lo shom miyad ledivrei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, very often we psych ourselves out in the Avodas Hashem. To have that simplicity of Kalev to just say, a Jew's got to get the job done. As Koheles also says, the lazy person says there's a lion in the street. So the Kutzker Rebbe said, why is he lazy? If there's a lion in the street, you're also not going outside. Why are you calling him lazy? If there's no lion in the street, then he's a liar. If there is a lion in the street, then he's not lazy. Right? He's just smart. But if he really needed to get somewhere, he'd find a way. He'd climb through the window. He'd go out the rooftops. He'd find a way to get there. He's lazy in the sense that he's making excuses. He doesn't really want to go. He doesn't really want to go. So he's blaming it on the lion that's in the street. A Jew has to find a way to break down doors. A Jew has to find a way. Alo na'ale. Really, last far. Halach ma'anya. Nodav marav. When do we say halach ma'anya? Because that's also Google. We'll end with this. When do we say halach ma'anya? What's the famous question? We're already sitting at our table. The doors are closed. The Seder has begun. And now we say, by the way, anyone who doesn't have their Pesach plans worked out yet, you're welcome to join us. What's the pshat? I saw on a Sefer Zer Zahav, Rav Wolf of Stripkov. The Rebbe Rav Wolf of Stripkov. So he said, you know what? You know why we say Halach Ma'ani with the door closed? Because at that point of the Seder, a Jew who's running so far behind schedule, the only way there can be a Geula is if you believe that I'm prepared to break down doors. So we're testing you. You want to come to my Seder? So kick down my door. I closed the door on purpose. But you're still invited. Don't think you're not invited. Alo na'ale, have the courage of Kalev to continue to push ahead. So again, we should overcome this Chedem Raglim, both in terms of our return to Eretz Yisrael, to have the confidence and the courage to continue to move towards the Geula, and again, in all aspects of Avodas Hashem. Not to convince ourselves that we're unworthy or unable, but to simply declare, Alo na'ale, ki nachol, because we're able to do it. Okay, Eretz Hashem, we should be zochet to the Geula B'karav. Next week, no shiur, but I